Item E, manor farm.
So we're in manor farm, 40 Ratcliffe Road, Thusington. There is a planning application and a listed building gazette application, so two recommendations as part of members' considerations for the conversion of a barn to a single residential dwelling with covered parking. The application is before members as the development site is outside of the development limits of the settlement, which is defined as another settlement within policy CS1 of the core strategy, so it's technically contrary to that policy, and also say policy ST2, which restricts development in such location to be within the defined development limits. So this is the site. The yellow dashed line indicates the development limits as they exist at the moment. So this is the barn in this location here, and this is the covered stable, which is proposed to be for the covered parking area. It's courtesy listed building by its association with Manor Farm here. Manor House in this location is also a separately listed building, grade 2 listed building. The surrounding buildings are predominantly agricultural in use. I'll just talk you through some of the uses that exist around the site. This building here was originally built as an agricultural store, although was granted consent in 2007, I believe, for a change of use to a B8 storage and light industrial use, which is currently used by a local shop fitter for storage of materials. This barn here is a large open-sided barn, of which the northern side is used for storage of machinery and vehicles, and the southern side is used in the winter for the rearing of calves. Again, the other buildings further away from the barn are used for agricultural purposes in association with the dairy farm. And there's also a listed dovecote listed in its own right in this location here. The proposal includes access via the existing agricultural farm access and then down through in between these two buildings here. It's an aerial shot just to give you a better idea of the site. So this is the barn looking from the southeast. You'll notice that it currently has a relatively new roof covering, quite an unsympathetic cement roof tiles, of which are technically unauthorised. We haven't granted listed builder consent. And obviously, through the submission of this application, that fact came to light. It is proposed to replace the roof covering with a more sympathetic natural slate, of which details are required by a suggested condition. I'll come on to the plans, but there are some changes, other changes to the external elevation. So there are roof lights proposed at low level within the roof slope to provide light to the first floor rooms. And there are also two windows proposed in this elevation here to provide light to the downstairs living space. The barn doors are beyond repair, so it's proposed to replace those and hang them externally on the building and then provide a large glazed opening in place of those doors. And no, there are no other alterations to or insertion of any other windows within that elevation, and there is the statement of a glazed window in this location here. This is the covered stable, which is proposed to be used for the covered parking. There are no physical alterations proposed whatsoever to this building. It is to remain as is, obviously with the parking area in front of it. That's the other view of the parking court. This is Manor House, which is under separate ownership, and the boundary effectively runs along there. However, part of the building is accessed and owned separately by Manor House, which I will point out on the floor plans when I get to them in a moment. This is the north elevation. The proposed changes are the insertion of a small window in this location here, and also the insertion of roof lights as well. Other than that, there's no other changes to this elevation. This is an internal shot to give an appreciation of the internal. Obviously, there's a fairly modern roof covering, but there are earlier roof trusses, which obviously, as part of members' considerations, they'll have to look at and assess impact on the heritage asset, which obviously there is a section within the report. This is a view down the access or the proposed vehicular access to reach the dwelling. Obviously, officers appreciate, and as it's detailed with the report, it's not a conventional means of access to a residential property. But obviously, in light of any potential kind of impacts on amenity, it's not considered that there's a sufficient reason to necessarily resist the application on that basis. This is a view of the access. This is the listed duplicate. No changes proposed. Obviously, as I said, the access is to be shared with the agricultural farm. Just to give you an idea of the visibility, that's looking northeast towards the village. And again, southwest towards Ratcliffe in that direction. And just one final view as well from Ratcliffe Road as to the profile of the barn as viewed from the highway. This is the site layout plan as submitted. Obviously, this is the barn, which is proposed for residential use, and obviously the covered parking area. There is no physical change. There is no additional footprint proposed. Existing elevation, which obviously the photographs give a good indication of anyway. So I'll go on to the proposed elevation. So in terms of changes, obviously the threshing doors will be removed and new ones made, of which details are required by a condition on the listed building consent recommendation. Obviously these are the two windows inserted at ground floor level, which on balance are considered to be acceptable because it makes the internal living space habitable. And obviously there's the insertion of the roof lights and also the flue. On the northwest elevation, obviously this is the small insertion of a single window, which again on balance we consider to be acceptable. It provides light to a utility room in that location, a large utility boot room, and the fact that it's at low level, it won't be visually prominent from the road. The internal floor plans, so it's three bedrooms at first floor with a large interconnecting study area. The ground floor is largely left open as an open space to kind of preserve the open character of the barn as it exists at the moment. And also with a couple of sections of double height space as well, just to provide a bit of emphasis as to the volume, again, to retain the agricultural or the kind of original historic character of the building. You'll also notice that these areas here, they are not proposed to be altered in any way. I know members would have seen today that there are swallow nests in this section of the building. So for that reason, it's not proposed to alter this in any way, but there are conditions within the recommendation that obviously seek to protect species and also provide a mitigation strategy prior to any works commencing. So in terms of the issues for consideration, obviously the principle of development is key because the site doesn't wholly accord with policy CS1 or ST2 because it is outside of, although abutting, the development limits to the settlement. Thrussington is, is an other settlement as defined within CS1, which therefore can take a small amount of development. And also it's worth pointing out that obviously those policies are in place in terms of CS1 and ST2 to protect the character of the countryside. And I think obviously on balance, officers are of the view that the development, it's not a new building in the countryside, it's conversion of an existing building, and by virtue of that fact, there is limited harm to the character of the countryside. Obviously, that follows on to the kind of impact on the character of the area, and obviously the assessment being that it is very limited. Obviously, the impact on the designated heritage assets, the key test is obviously whether the harm is substantial or less than substantial, which obviously in this case it's deemed to be less than substantial, in which case the benefits or the public benefits should outweigh that. And I think it's considered that finding a reuse of a potentially or possibly otherwise redundant building, which is a designated heritage asset, therefore preserving it for the future, and also providing a single dwelling on the edge of a settlement, which obviously there is kind of modest benefit in terms of supporting the existing community. Residential amenity, obviously a key issue with regards to its location on a working farm. Obviously, we've looked at that and considered as to whether the future occupiers could have a low standard of residential amenity, which it deemed that on balance it isn't, and it wouldn't substantiate a reason to refuse the application. And obviously, there is the fact as well that should anybody be looking to buy this property, they do so in knowing that the site is surrounded by agricultural uses and the noise and the potential odours that come with that. Highway safety and parking, obviously there's sufficient space on site for parking, and obviously as the photo suggests, and you'll appreciate from the visit today, that it's utilising an existing access of which the visibility is adequate. And obviously biodiversity as well. Ecological survey was submitted as part of the application. There was no evidence of bats. Obviously, there was the evidence of the bird nesting, of which there is a condition within the report that requires the development to be carried out in accordance with the recommendations within that survey. But there's also another condition that I'll just point your attention to it. Yeah, it's condition 4, which requires that no development should be carried out on site unless it is fully in accordance with the mitigation strategy specified within the submitted survey, and then goes on to say that details of the mitigation measures to be carried out should be submitted to and approved in writing prior to the commencement of development, and should thereafter be retained as such unless otherwise approved. So yes, I think I've summed up the planning balance through the previous slide, and obviously I won't go through all of the conditions, but obviously there are two recommendations, so it's the conditions on the planning application recommendation, and also the separate conditions for the listed building consent. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we ought to point out right at the start that the only reason that this has come to us, as there have been no objections whatsoever from the parish council, locals, etc., that would normally have been dealt with under delegated authority. But because part of the site is outside the area of development for this town, it's come to us to make a final decision. Okay, I have one speaker at the moment, Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you, Chair. Can you put the pictures back up, please? That one.
Yes.
Yeah, going down. First off, I don't want to see the dog that lives in that kennel. But going back, the birds, the swallows, that's going to be carefully removed and placed elsewhere.
Yes, so the area in which the swallows are, it's not proposed to convert that section of the building to be habitable living space, it's to remain as is. But obviously, there is the recommendations within the Cultural Preserve that requires them to censor it, and also the condition requires them to submit details to that. Obviously, should that change, then we'll have to submit details for our senior colleagues to consider for the future as well.
With that, then, I'd like to propose we accept officers' recommendation.
Councillor Bevington.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, normally I'd be a little bit concerned about the development of properties on farms, especially when they're outside the normal development area. But having said that, I actually think this is going to end up looking better than it does at the moment. I mean, the farm, isn't there a term for a type of architecture known as brutalist? because when you look at the buildings there, they're fairly rough and ready. You've also got that big concrete base at the back that I believe is going to be removed, and a garden put there, which is going to make a significant difference. I was actually going to propose it, but since that's already been done, I suggest that if there's nobody else to speak, we go on and vote for it.
I've got one other speaker. Can't do it, Councillor Grimley.
I was going to first of all echo the other comments. Just comment to Bill Bevington that it's not brutalism. The word is agricultural type buildings, and a lot of those are within my patch. I mean, just generally it's okay. I mean, just going through the detail, and I suppose it bore a lot of you, but the talk about replacement of brickwork with lime-based mortar, which is good, and that's how it would originally have been done. On the inside, would you be looking for a lime-based plaster, which is what would originally be put in that type of terrestrial bar that would allow the breathability and movement that... is not with the lime-based mortar on the outside will give.
That isn't proposed as a condition. Obviously, if members are minded to include that as a condition, obviously we have to ensure that it's reasonable and meets the test within the MPPF. My view is that it's a courtesy list of building, and I think requiring a lime-based plaster internally would potentially be a step too far. Because it results in additional costs and whether... I mean, what are your thoughts?
Sorry.
Could possibly suggest that internal... materials are put to a separate condition, then that can be agreed with the conservation officer if they think it's necessary.
We could add a condition around the materials to insert that. I think that seems to be the view of most of the committee, and yes, it's something we can cover.
Those are in second. Are happy with that? Okay, thank you. We have one last speaker, Councillor Tassel.
Yes, I spoke to the officer about this afternoon, and that is the actual roofing. And on E8, the second paragraph deals with this. Can we please ensure that they're not modern slates that are used on this property? The modern lightweight ones, they do look modern. Can we have a look at what the house next door and the manor house is roofed with, and do something sympathetically to go with it. Also, the dovecot, I didn't look at what that was roofed with, but I feel that buildings of this age would have been actually covered in stone tiles, proper stone tiles, which I'm afraid would probably be a bit prohibitive, expensive-wise, but please not the modern slates. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the condition 5 on the listed building consent already probably gives you that control. It says, condition 5, no development shall commence on the site until such time as samples of any replacement of facing and brickwork in the natural slate roof and ridge tiles have been submitted for the agreement by the local planning authority. Only materials agreed in writing by the local planning authority should be used in carrying out of the development. So it gives us the control to ensure that the slate products are of appropriate quality.
Okay, we have a proposal to grant with the extra condition.
Just so I can clarify for my own satisfaction, the additional condition is that internal materials, details of those to be submitted and approved by the local planning authority.
Thank you, Michael. Spot on. All those in favour? I guess unanimous. It's granted. Thank you very much. We end the meeting now. 8:40. Boys, you're getting longer.